Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
All right, so you caught us up on your weekend in Canton, Ohio. If you missed it, of course, it's available on the podcast. Hour number one, plenty of juicy stuff. Let's catch you up.
Okay.
Broncos, let's just start with really the signature story of the weekend between Saturday and Sunday's practice. Sunday's practice, which was going to be a stadium practice, no fans, was moved inside because of smoke.
Oh, that's right. Bad smoke.
Yep.
Okay.
Bad smoke. Yeah. I mean, over the weekend here, and I don't know how it is today, but like over the weekend, looked like, you know, Snoop Dogg exhaled.
Oh.
I mean, it was just, you couldn't see down the road. I mean, it was crazy.
Wow. Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah, they were saying this past weekend it was like literally the second worst air quality in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty wild. So certainly understandable that the Broncos did what they did. But it was Saturday. It was Saturday where we saw a full-blown fight. Not a pushy-pushy fight.
Oh.
Not a slap-and-tickle fight. It was a full-blown, to-the-ground fight with the team trying to, like, literally the team trying to separate Bradley Chubb and Garrett Bowles.
Mm, that's two big men going at it.
Two big dudes. Two former first-round picks.
Wow.
Two guys that I think we can say are two of the leaders on this team.
Yeah.
And when they got fully pulled apart, those guys were both still 10 out of 10 hot. I mean, Chubb was going nuts. Bowles, after walking around for a little bit, chucked his helmet in the equipment, whatever.
Basket?
Yeah, yeah. Chucked his helmet in the equipment basket before walking into the facility.
Okay.
And I said, I'm out there on Saturday, and I said to Marilyn, I said, I don't think he's kicked out of practice because Bradley Chubb is still here. You know, unless there was some over-the-top instigation that for
right.
Chubb, for Bowles, where he took it too far. And apparently, now, Richie, just make sure I get the story straight here. One of the coaches, Mike Munchak, sent, was it Chris Cooper in the building? Yeah, okay. So he sent Chris Cooper in the building to get Bowles. They couldn't get him out. They couldn't get him out. Okay, and then apparently George Payton went into the facility with Ray Jackson, vice president of player personnel, and they finally got him back out.
Okay.
So it was a true dust up. So we'll get back to that here in just a second. John Clayton, our senior Broncos writer at DenverFan.com, is joining us courtesy of Twin Peaks. John, thanks for being with us here on a Tuesday. We'll get back to the story we were talking about just a second ago, but I'm curious of your thoughts over the weekend, Peyton Manning's speech, a lot of speculation that, hey, you know, could he be tipping his hand on what he wants to do next with his comments about the game of football?
Well, if you go back to when he was visiting Denver about a month ago, and he pretty well said that he would be interested in getting involved in ownership. And so, ultimately, in his days at Denver, I know being around him, he was going around the facility, you know, almost acting like an owner, because he'll go around and say, hey, so why do we have so many of these things? Why do we have that? Why do we have that? I mean, so he's very detailed in what he's doing. He obviously has a lot of money, and particularly the Manning family has a lot of money. I mean, remember, I mean, what his wife owns a hockey team. So it's like, yeah, I think that but of course, I mean, right now the value according to Forbes is $3.75 million, but I would anticipate how good the Bronco franchise is, it'll go higher than that. I mean, think about this for a second. Here's Denver, 10th highest as far as the Forbes list at $3.75 million. And all the other teams in the AFC West are below them. The Raiders are at 3.4. I mean, both Kansas City and the Chargers are in the high twos. And here's 3.75. But, this is a very popular franchise, and I think that Peyton would like to be involved if after the season the family decides to sell.
John Clayton, join us. John, how big is this week for the Broncos quarterback competition? You got a couple practices, and then you got the first preseason game. How big is this week for the quarterback battle?
Well, I mean, it's big, but I wouldn't overdo it. I mean, again, you got three games. You got three preseason games to do it, and of course, the practices are all going to be charted and everything else. So, if it's going to be a bad game, it's going to be no different than that one weekend. When you had Teddy Bridgewater throw some interceptions and hold on to the ball a little bit too long and threw too many checkdowns and things like that. So I wouldn't overdo it because, again, this one game, particularly a preseason game, is not going to determine who's going to be the starting quarterback. It'll help, but it's not going to determine.
John and John Clayton with us here. The Deshaun Watson saga gets even stranger. And
yeah.
Now, we were told it was either yesterday or this morning saying that he's unlikely to play in the preseason opener, but he's back at practice after like 5 days off. What is going to happen here with this situation?
Well, he was back in practice for about six plays, right? That was on Monday, and of course, or it was on Sunday or whenever it was. And so it wasn't like he was out there doing a lot. And then of course he shut it down yesterday, and I think he's still going to continue to shut it down. So, he doesn't want to be there. I think they're still kind of going through the motions of trying to figure out how to handle him and him how to handle the situation, because obviously he doesn't want to get fined. But, John McClain, who's covered the team since its inception, is pretty well saying he's not going to play a down for the Houston Texans this year.
I just don't know what the heck is next. Does he get if he's not going to play a down, do you trade him during the season? Do you trade him here in the preseason?
Trade him when you can get a trade and when you get the right value. The problem's going to be, can they get the equivalent of three first-round picks and more? And I'd say, unless it's going to be Philadelphia, that's not going to be likely. I mean, the Broncos aren't going to pay three first-round picks. They don't have three first-round picks. And so it's got to be, a little bit of a discount for Denver to do it. And I don't know if Denver will do it. But we know Philadelphia would do it because they've been talking since basically before the draft.
Yeah, and we've seen Philly make a move, let the PR be damned in the short term. So some historical references to draw from there. John, we appreciate your time, and we'll catch up with you this time next week.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, there he goes. John Clayton, our senior Broncos writer, DenverFan.com, courtesy of Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Okay. Well, Broncos do have three first-round picks. If they want to give them up, they could.
They do. I think he misspoke there.
They have
their picks.
They have them. They haven't traded one away, I don't believe. So they could do it if they wanted to, but I don't see them, giving up three right now for a lot of different reasons. And one, the main one is just the charges that are and the uncertainty of Deshaun's future. So
right.
That's not going to happen until, especially in our situation here with no owner, you don't want to pass this thing off to a new owner in a year or so and all of a sudden say, yeah, well, we don't have three first-round picks, and the guy that we gave him up for, he's not going to be around for at least a year. He's on the pen.
Right. That'd be a tough thing to hand off.
Yeah, so you don't want to muddy the waters at all, so you're just going to stay, unless this thing gets cleared, it's not going to happen with the Broncos.
Back to the fight between Bowles and Chubb.
Yeah.
I laid out the scenario. They apparently shook hands later on in the practice. Your thought about
it happens. It's just part of competing in football. You're going to have these dust-ups. Bowles goes in the locker room. That's fine. Go cool down, right? You're hot. I mean, you're getting in a fight out there, and a lot of bad things are usually said, right?
And they were.
And it just happened. So, Bowles, go in the locker room for a little bit, cool down, take a deep breath, cooler heads prevail, come out, nice job by him, nice gesture by him, going to shake Bradley Chubb's hand, and hopefully that's it. And hopefully you can just move on and turn the page, and no big deal here. Hopefully nothing lingers.
Is there something to be said for, hey, this is one of the leaders on the team, Bowles has turned into that, Merlat was saying, hey, this guy quit on his team. This guy walked out during practice, wasn't able to get pulled out of the facility by one of the coaches. It took the GM to be in there and get him out. not a great look, you know, in terms of his teammates as well.
No problem or issue with that. None at all. Like I said, cool down, chill out, quit in practice. I mean, come on, that's a little bit overboard there, Marilat. I mean, settle down a little bit here, right?
James going overboard?
Yeah, exactly. This is another one. Can I get me some Jerry Jones? Settle down a little bit with a little bit of Jerry.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
There you go. Thank you.
Settle down just a little bit.
There it is. Settle down a little bit, Marilat, because you miss 5 or 10 minutes of practice. Who cares? It's fine. Deep breath. Make sure everything is calmed down. When you go back out there, we want you to practice well. We want you to have a clear mind, and we don't want any more issues, right? So that is fine. Don't come back out until you're ready to practice. And if you can't get your mind ready to practice, then just stay inside the rest of practice, right? Whatever. It's one day. It's a few, you know, it's 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is. It's fine. It's okay. But you don't want him to go back out there until he's ready to practice and he's got his mind right.
All right. That's that.
Yeah.
Guess what happened this morning?
What?
Vic Fangio named a starting quarterback for this week in Minnesota.
How about that?
And we'll get to that coming up next.
Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
The Broncos had a brief practice.
I did see Mark Schlereth out there, too. I saw him for a second. I never saw D-Mac or Tyler, but I did see Mark and his wife walking by, so I got a chance to talk to them for a couple of minutes during the ceremony, so that was cool.
I saw him at Water, gave him a shout out. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Had absolutely. All his former teammates stand up. That was kind of a cool moment.
That is.
Peyton
should have done that.
Well.
At least.
You know, it's tricky, man, when you start thinking.
I'm joking.
Well, you saw this happen with someone like Drew Pearson.
Yeah.
You start thanking people. That's your whole speech.
That's it.
If that's the route you want to go,
right,
then you're going to be thanking people for the whole 8 minutes. So I talked to my wife about it after, said, like, he purposefully did not go down that road. If your name got mentioned, it was organically saying something that he was trying to say.
That's right.
So all good. Vic Fangio, this morning, the Broncos practiced. All right, they practiced for about an hour, okay?
They had a mini walkthrough. Okay, walkthrough, because fans weren't invited, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Just select media members because we couldn't go.
Correct.
But it's just an hour, so they probably just helmets, you think?
Probably so. I read that it was a walkthrough. So you're not padding up for a walkthrough. Probably not even shells. It's an hour.
Yeah.
So, Vic Fangio did speak after practice, and he was asked how quarterback reps will be divided this week.
There will be more until we make a decision more for those two guys. And less than for Rip than you've just described?
I mean, okay, fine. I mean, about time. Right? I mean, Rip doesn't need the reps. Rip is not going to be your starting quarterback this year. If Rip is your starting quarterback, you're screwed.
You're in trouble.
So we don't need to give Rip any reps. There you go. It's that simple. It's nothing against Rip. But it's just the facts. It's your situation. It's trying to win football games. It's big boy football. He's the odd man out here. He doesn't need to be taking, you know, any reps, really. I mean, it really doesn't need to. Put the other guys in there to work with the younger guys. Who cares? These guys need all the reps they can get. So I like that. I like that approach. Less for Rip, more for these two.
That's it. All right, this is more from Vic Fangio, how joint practice will factor into picking a quarterback.
You know, ultimately the decision will be a total examination of everything, really from the start of training camp till the day we make the decision. Obviously, I think these practices we have coming up, we had a really good practice the other day, you know, where it was upscale a little bit. They all factor in, and, you know, there is no grading scale, but ultimately, we got to go by what we see. We're keeping track of things statistically, you know, some more deep stats than what you guys would do, and they'll be there for the information.
Okay.
So there's no grading system. That's what I was telling. I don't know if it was you or
James.
Yeah. It's just they're not grading this thing like, and they're not doing, you know, like Mike Kliss does it winner by day and like, okay, well, Teddy's won, you know, 3 days or
right,
you know, whatever.
Right,
Drew's
right,
won five,
right.
So Drew's got the lead. That's not how this thing works. Right? It's just a comprehensive thing. And you look at the entire picture and you just, which guy do we feel best moving forward that can win this game? Which guy do we trust more? Right? It's not like, oh, well, Teddy edged him out 11-10, so Teddy won the job. No. That's not how it works.
And really what that does is it gives Vic Fangio the license to just go with his gut.
Right.
Like there's no, it's not a box score
right.
here.
You made a 90 that day and the other day you made a 70. So, you know, your overall grade is, 80. I mean, that's not how it works. And Teddy's grade was a 82. So he wins the job. No. It's how do you feel? Who do you trust? The overall picture, the overall view. And like you said, you'll have some of those stat things that you want to look at. But at the end of the day, it's who do you trust the most? And that's really what it comes down to. I really think they could make the call right now.
I think so too.
I really do.
I think so too.
It's like, who do you trust? Has Drew done enough? And if he hasn't done enough, so that's the first guy. If Drew hasn't done enough yet, will he be able to change that view in, you know, a couple weeks? I just don't think so. What has Teddy done? Has Teddy done enough to gain your trust over Drew? If he has, he's not going to lose it in a couple weeks. Drew's not going to overtake him in a couple weeks. I understand why, you know, they're not doing it. I mean, you said it's a competition. You want to let this thing play out. And, you know, Kliss made a good point last week. If you do it now and that guy all of a sudden falls on his face, you're kind of like, whoa, what right. do we do here?
Right.
But it's like, it's big boy football.
But to think that
if the guy falls on his face, he falls on it, you got to fight through it.
Right. Okay. So the news here of the day, and we don't have the audio of Vic saying it because the Broncos stream wasn't working for the first two questions. Okay. Disaster. All right. But what he did say to the reporters out there, that Drew Lock will start Saturday's preseason opener against the Vikings. Fangio also said that Bridgewater will get the start when they face Seattle in the second game of the preseason.
Okay.
So what we have right now is a plan in place. We are not going to hear from Vic Fangio, not like we are expecting to in the first place, but we are not going to hear of that one quarterback is separating himself from the other, whether it's true or not, because the plan's in place. This guy's starting this preseason game, that guy's starting that preseason game, and like we talked about a couple weeks ago, it'll likely be after that Seattle game where the starter is named.
Well, I'm hoping.
Hoping.
I mean, you said that's not what you think. You think it's going to be happening the week of the Giants game.
I believe that ultimately he will stretch it out.
Right.
Yep.
I think it should happen after the Seattle game, but if I had to place a wager, you know, if I had to go to Bet Rivers and place a wager, it would be on the over, that like longer than, you know, a day or two after the Seattle second preseason game.
Yep.
I just don't think he will. I think he's going to drag this thing out. That's what he's done. That's kind of been his M.O. He just, you know, takes his time.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is very important. Name the starter. Let's figure this thing out. Let's move on. Because I can guarantee you nothing's going to change after Seattle. You're going to have a favorite. It's not going to be like one of those, oh, my goodness, we got to go back through everything. This thing is so close. I don't know. You know, they've been talking about it every day. Like, oh, man, what's going to – I mean, right? Right?
Exactly. This is how Vic answered the question, how will you handle week three of the preseason?
Don't know yet.
Right. Which is perfect. I love that answer, Vic. Perfect.
Oh, no.
So, leave on alone. Leave on alone in there, Richie. That's on you. Leave on alone. We're back on good terms.
And if you missed hour number one, it sounded like in Canton, Stoke and Vaughn buried the hatchet. If there was a hatchet to be buried.
Yeah, we had a good talk.
You had a good talk.
Good talk.
Good productive talk.
That's right. But I like that from Vic. We don't know what's going to happen that week. We're not going to say this person or that person. Hopefully they make a decision before that. And, you know, are you even playing guys or not? I don't even know if he knows that. They might not play anybody week three.
They might not. But here's like think of like a real world example of two people vying for the same job. Like if we had for the last 11 days, two producers in here that were both vying for the same job, right. And we got one producer one day and another producer another day, and we saw this over the course of a week and a half, 2 weeks, after that amount of time, we'd probably have a lean on what we're going to do.
We would know.
We would know,
we wouldn't
right?
need to see anymore. And if you don't know, guess what? Then both those guys aren't the right choice. Then just go with Rip. Go with C. They're going to know. And they've had a lot more time than they had all preseason.
Right.
All offseason, excuse me.
And, like, game film.
And game film.
These guys aren't just coming in the league. We got years of sample size with Teddy. We got a season and a half right here in Denver with Drew. So to act like it was just, you know, you got it. All right. We still have so much more to get to that we have planned for us. And I think you're going to like this segment.
Oh, I'll be the judge of it. I mean, I don't like when you call your shots because usually they under-deliver.
No, that's not true. We'll see. I know you pretty well. Okay. I am your longest tenured teammate that you've ever had. What are the chances the Broncos make the playoffs? How about to win the division?
Right. You're right. I will like this one.
How about to win the Super Bowl?
Oh, we got it all?
I got all of it in my hand. It's coming up next.
Playoffs. It's training camp 50-50. Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
The song still makes me want to run through a wall. This would be like pregame. Pregame.
Oh, this pregame?
Here. On the bus.
Yeah.
The anti-skip Discman.
Oh, there you go.
Holla at me. The little headphones that wrap around your ear. Remember when those?
Yeah.
Kind of hang on the back. Yeah. Love them. You're a new animal owner. I saw you on Twitter last night.
Yeah.
You and Tyler, man. I don't know.
You're
what
a new animal owner. You're a son of a gun. I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes I wish we were on like Sirius where I could really say what I wanted to say.
Yeah, I saw you and Tyler and Brandon McManus are part of, what's it called? The Bored Ape Yacht Club?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Go ahead and if you could just give a brief explanation.
A brief summary of it.
To what your new investment is.
Honestly, Zach, I really don't have a clue. Tyler, I got Tyler put me on this.
if you were to just try, just from your, I know you're a layman, right. You're new to it.
Tyler got me in on this stuff, and I got to say, I really don't know anything about it. It's destined to be great. It's going to be unbelievable. A great investment on my part. I can just see it. I can see the future.
So.
Elephants.
So just I'm not gonna hold you to an
image. It's an image that you own, and that's yours. And it's an image of different apes that have cowboy hat, earring, maybe smoking a stogie or something like that. And they only make a certain amount, and you own it, and that's your image. So pretty popular right now.
It's a digital image. Of an ape wearing a cowboy hat.
Or
holding a latte or with an earring.
Yes, or jacket, yes.
And just on average.
My wife is probably listening once again, Zach. You screwed me a week ago. Why are we going down this road again?
Well, because I saw you guys had a big reveal last night. Tyler teased it an hour out. I mean, I couldn't believe it. So these images, these digital images of these apes that are all different, there's only a limited amount of these apes that you never saw 4 weeks ago, but now they're very important.
Yes.
So like just on average, not your investment, but just on average, these apes, $5-$10, what are we talking about, $25?
I mean, if you want to know the numbers, Google it and look it up, okay? I mean, it's not hard to figure it out. It's not hard to figure it out. It's out there. It's out there for public consumption. So, like, if you want to see, you know, what these things cost, go for it. I mean, it's, but this is my retirement plan.
Oh my god.
My life savings going into this. So, I hope Tyler was right. Let's go, Tyler.
Tyler
became my new financial advisor last week, by the way, if my wife is listening.
Oh my god. Oh, you can't make this stuff up, man.
That's a dum-dum for you.
I'm excited, so though. I love it. I can't wait to put that. That's going to be my Twitter
picture. Are you going to change your avatar?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm going to start wearing the gear and everything.
Awesome. Boom. All right.
Oh, Lord.
And you got to buy it with digital. Digital currency.
Yeah. So it's all digital stuff. Yep. You got to buy it with digital currency.
So does that mean you have a cryptocurrency wallet?
I do.
Awesome.
I do. I just got one.
Awesome.
I just got one. So I'm just learning new stuff about this. But it's fun. It's addicting. And it's unique. It's different. And sometimes I don't really get it, but it's fun.
Yeah. I love it. All right. Tyler, last on this. He tried to get me involved in this new world where it's let me just describe what it is. It's the same digital images. You own this digital image, and they're robots with like what's a camera called? A Polaroid.
Yeah.
Polaroid.
Yes.
Heads.
Yes.
Like carrying a latte or a pencil.
Yes.
Or,
that's my next purchase.
Yeah.
That's
your next purchase.
Yeah, that's my next purchase.
And it's another world. Like if you buy one of those, you know, robots with the Polaroid head, you can buy, you know, other stuff. So your ape, it sounds like, gets you into the world where
you
can...
I got a doggy, too, and I'm going to get one of those Polaroid guys also. But I got a dog also. I love my doggy. I love my doggy.
You love your doggy.
Oh, gosh, it's so cute. He's so cute. I'm just telling you.
Oh, my God.
I really do. I love my dog.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so funny.
Fantasy world, man. It's fun.
This is the description that he had when inviting you into this board. Ape world. Quote, I ran out of bananas feeding three apes in one house, so I found a new home for this fine young ape.
I'm so excited,
what am I supposed to do with that? What
so
in the
excited.
Hell is going on
Tyler's
around here?
Got two other apes? Wow.
I ran out of them with the bananas in one house. What are we doing around here?
Oh, man. I'm telling you, it is fun.
Oh.
It is fun.
Oh, my gosh.
It's awesome.
You can't make this up.
Hey, look, you know, a lot of people were laughing at Bitcoin, all that other stuff early on.
Oh,
I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
Look at some of this stuff.
I can't wrap. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the cryptocurrency.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not going to then take that cryptocurrency and buy an ape with an earring, a picture of an ape with an earring.
Oh, it's good. That's next level, Zach. I'm just telling you.
All right. Crypto, by the way, is pumping.
Mm.
All right. We didn't get to anything we were supposed to get to.
Yeah, that was your fault because you tried to, get me in trouble again. It's not what this show is about. Every segment, every day now, you're trying to get me in trouble.
Good grief. All right. We're going to take a time out. I have the exact number, the stats, the probability, the forecast of the Denver Broncos to make the playoffs, win the AFC West, a chance to play on divisional weekend, a chance to make the conference championship game. I have all those numbers, and I promise, no ape talk. We'll get to it next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Oh, fun conversation, fun reactions on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. All right, I have these odds in ESPN, you know, they got the Football Power Index, okay? And they actually, and this is just a side note, ESPN, this Football Power Index, it's not going anywhere. Much like the QBR that they created years ago, a more comprehensive review of quarterback play, other than, you know, quarterback rating, which is a little bit, you know, archaic, doesn't take enough into account. They have this Football Power Index that's not going away on their website. So week by week during the NFL season, Stoke, you lose a game, you win a game, you're going to see your playoff odds change, your Super Bowl odds change. There's some massive formula to this, so we can have some fun with this throughout the season, I hope.
Perfect. Yeah, I love it.
What would you say if I said Broncos playoff chances? Broncos playoff probability.
Playoff chances. Okay. I think it's, you know, less than 50%. So let's start there. I think it's less than 50%. Less than 40, I would think. So I'm thinking, you know, right off the top of my head, I would say 30s. So low 30s. Or is it in the 20s? I'm going to go low 30s. So I'm going to go 31%.
Okay, so
close, not close.
You and I are thinking along the same lines here. If you asked me that same question that I just asked you, I would say, I would honestly say in the 20s. This is a 5-11 team from a year ago, same coaching staff coming back, lackluster forecast at the quarterback position. Forecast can always change, but right now from where we stand, lackluster in that department, I would have said maybe 27%, something okay. Like that. I was shocked and pleasantly surprised when I looked up the Broncos' playoff probability in ESPN's Football Power Index. They have the Broncos with a 41% chance to make the NFL playoffs this season.
A lot higher than I thought it would be. Much higher. That's a big number.
That's a big number
for a team where you don't know what you're going to get from the quarterback position. Ultimately, you know, when you don't have a quarterback that you can count on, the Broncos only know who the quarterback is, and they're putting that out there. That tells you how they view the rest of the football team. But, man, quarterback's an important position. A lot has to go right for you to make the playoffs. Now, they're not 50%. They're not a coin flip, but 41%, that's a big number there.
It's a big number.
I thought it would be a little bit less.
Same. So when we look at this number, what are they, the fact that it's this high, what are they banking on?
Obviously they're banking on the defense, they're banking on the offensive line, they're banking on the running game. You can't bank on the quarterback. You don't even know who it is.
Right.
So I think they're banking on the pieces around the quarterback position. When you look at this defense being really good and you look at being able to run the football. And if you can run the football, now what does that do? That takes the pressure off the quarterback. That opens up the passing game. And, oh, by the way, they do have some talented skill position players. So I think that's what they're looking at and they're banking on. And the people around the quarterback, positions around the quarterback stepping up and playing well.
They got some good pieces in place, obviously, to spit out a number like this. What about if I said the chances for the Denver Broncos to win the AFC West?
Oh, obviously you got Kansas City there.
The elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And you own the rights to it.
I knew you were coming with something. I just knew it. I have purchased a few of them.
You do have a digital elephant.
Oh, yeah, a few of them.
I mean,
a few of them.
You got a herd of digital elephants.
Yeah, why not? I love elephants. Got myself a dog. I love my dog. I might put my dog up as my avatar thing.
Oh my gosh. This is so funny. I can't get over
it. It is, man. I love it. It is addicting. It's addicting. Which is not good for me. And not good for probably my wife listening.
Right.
Let me think, Zach. You got to go through Kansas City. And you also got the Chargers, who I think are going to be, you know, if I said right now, how is it going to end 1-2? I'm giving the Chargers the edge over the Broncos. I know who the Chargers quarterback was, and that guy was great last year. Is he going to take a step forward this year? I mean, he should improve. And they got a good roster also. So I'm giving them an edge over the Broncos if I'm division, you know, going through the division. Really low. I mean, shoot. You got to beat the Chiefs, man.
Gotta beat the Chiefs.
I mean,
which hasn't happened in how many years? I mean, you got to go back
five?
Yeah, you got to go back to 2015, I want to say.
So, not just beat them, but then you have to play better than them the rest of the year. It's not just, oh, we beat the Chiefs once. Yay! No.
You can do that. You can catch. You can. In this league?
I'm not. I was picking them at this time last year to beat the Chiefs one time.
You were.
And then when I saw the product, I backtracked on it really quickly. But I think the Chiefs lost to the Raiders last year. Did they lose
they
once
did.
To the Chargers? I knew the Chargers had them on the ropes. But anyway, look.
Yeah, they blew it. The Chargers did.
Yeah.
Like they.
Right, that's what they did all year.
Yeah. That just stunned look on the face of Anthony Lynn there
on
the sideline. I felt bad at a certain point.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, buddy, I mean.
So, yeah.
I mean, calling Vic for advice on how to manage the clock.
Yeah.
Like, hey, can you help me out here, Vic? This clock management thing is just getting, I just can't figure it out.
Who would be the
third person on that phone call? Like, you know, you used to make a three-way call.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, hold on, let me get this. Like, who would, like, the three-way call on clock management issues? Vic, Anthony Lynn, who was awful. Is there another one that comes to mind?
I remember
who else screwed up clock management issues, and they could be on a good like three-way call there.
And that's a good question.
Do we have anybody else?
You know, a guy who used to get criticized for end of game management was Andy Reid. Years ago.
Yeah, Andy. Yeah.
You know, but you win a Super Bowl.
And you get Patrick Mahomes, and now it all that works out for you.
Yeah.
Right? It's like,
turns out
funny.
The end of games isn't as relevant when you're up three scores.
Yeah, it's not that hard. It's not hard to close games out. We'll just go for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
Who cares about our timeouts?
You can mix in any Detroit Lions coach from 2010 until now.
I saw Jim Schwartz.
Oh, yeah. How's Jim Schwartz doing?
I didn't talk to him. I wanted to. Because he is a running joke in my house. I told you this story about him and Jim Harbaugh when they had the epic handshake after the game.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And Harbaugh hit him on the back.
Oh, yeah.
And Schwartz wanted to, like, it was like, and you never see that between coaches. So me and my son, that's like one of our go-tos. You know, we reenacted that thing so many times. And so I just took a picture of Jim Schwartz. He was the coach for the Detroit Lions, a head coach. And I took a picture and just sent it to him from kind of far away. I was like, you know, who's this? And he just started laughing. So
that's great.
So that was cool. Less than 10% on this thing. I mean, come on. I'm gonna give it.
And this is, if you're just joining us, Football Power Index from ESPN has the probability of the Broncos to win the AFC West, and your guess is
8%.
12.9.
Okay, close. I was better on that one than I was the other one.
But that's honestly, that's higher than I would have guessed because of
higher again. Okay.
Like when you talk about winning a division, is anyone in any division favored to win their division more than the Kansas City Chiefs are favored to win the AFC West? I don't think so. You look at the NFC West, that certainly wouldn't qualify with the Cardinals and the Niners and the Rams and the Seahawks. Might be the best division in football. You got the Falcons and Saints and Bucks there vying for NFC North. It's going to be, you know, the Packers will be favored, but, you know, don't sleep on Minnesota or, you know, who knows what the Bears are going to drum up. The NFC East, that, you know, came down to the wire a year ago with the winner of it being 7-9.
Yeah, that's going to be tight.
The AFC South.
The only one, NFC South. I mean,
with the Titans?
No, the NFC.
Oh, I'm sorry.
With Brady and Tampa. But you got the Saints there.
You got the Saints there still. I mean, they got a really good roster and.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't too long ago the Bucks were getting drummed by those Saints early last season. The AFC South, the Titans will be favored to win it, no question, but the Colts are, you know, nothing to shake a stick at. The AFC North, with the Steelers and the Bengals with Burrow back, the Browns, a playoff team from a year ago, and of course the Ravens, who could, you know, go win a Super Bowl this year. You know, the Bills have the Dolphins there to deal with in the AFC East.
Yeah, that's true.
Dolphins that's a damn good roster that's on the rise.
Yeah.
They were 10-6 a year ago and just narrowly missed the playoffs. So I think, going back to the original assertion, I think the Chiefs really conclusively are they're the favorite among all the favorites.
Yeah. I, Broncos 12%. I had them at 8. Okay. I mean, the probability is really low. Really low to overtake the Chiefs this year. Because, you know, you can beat anybody on a given Sunday. You really can. It happens all the time. They just have a down day, a couple turnovers maybe that they usually don't have. You make a couple extra plays. Next thing you know, you win. It happens all the time.
And we almost saw it. We were there together. Me, you, and a great friend of ours, Peyton.
Oh, yeah.
Together.
Yeah.
Watching Monday Night Football.
I know he wanted you. He asked about you at the Hall of Fame. Like, why couldn't you, why couldn't you make it? He was a little bit disappointed.
Just had stuff going on, dude. Just, got the new house and stuff.
Yeah.
And
totally, Zach.
See, just a little bit too much going on.
I just can't let them. I mean, my lawn.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I'm addicted to it.
Yeah.
So, but that night on Monday Night Football is one of my favorite memories of us three together, edging out me, you, and him at Augusta in the cabins with Darius Rucker. Rucker pulled out that guitar, sang "Let Her Cry." That's a close second. I got the chances here from ESPN's Football Power Index to make the divisional playoff round.
Divisional playoff round. So, what do you mean? What does that mean?
I think you're playing on weekend two. You know, second weekend.
So you win a playoff game.
Yeah.
Goodness. To make the playoffs, they had them 40%.
40%.
To win the division, 8%.
12.9.
Yeah, that was my guess, 8%. Yep. Sorry, 12.9. What would it be if they go to the playoffs, which they have it at 40%, right? Like 41. So.
Yep.
It's not 12% to go to the playoffs. It's 12% to win the AFC West. They got to win a game in the playoffs?
Win a game.
That's not very likely. Is that under the 12% to win the AFC West? That is ultimately the question that I'm have to decide between. But first, I got to say KKFN. Yeah, look up.
Golly.
KKFN. HD1. Pause for effect. Longmont, Denver. Ugh.
Welcome back.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
I'm gonna go under my 8% guess for the AFC. I'm going 6%.
They have it at 17%.
Oh man, these guys. Whew.
They are betting on this roster, and I don't know the exact formula or metric, analytical, compressed theory that they have here, but
I mean to win a playoff game.
Yeah.
Not just a go.
Right.
And then they got to win a game.
Yeah.
And they got it at 17%. Maybe I'm a little bit low on the 6%. I mean, what do you think?
No, I that's where I would have put it. We're talking about a 5-11 team with the same coach coming back and quarterback uncertainty. So, I mean, but here's the thing, like with this roster and the way that you think that they could be defensively and how they plan to play, if you want to use your imagination like this, you know, you can kind of go there.
Sure you can.
You know, if you want to let yourself.
Sure you can. But it's not just to get to the playoffs, it's to win a playoff game.
Right.
You know, I mean, that to me is the next step, and that's, wow. I mean, I think it's going to be a coin flip. It's going to be really difficult for this team to make it to the playoffs. And on top of that, they got to win a game. That's going to be very difficult.
Yeah.
But they do. They have the roster to be able to do it if things go their way and they stay healthy and they execute and play football like, you know, we've been talking about, running the football. But not just go out there and try to do it, but do it well.
Yeah.
Right? Do it well.
Yep.
Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, play great defense. I mean, secondary's loaded.
Loaded.
Just lock folks down. Get after the quarterback, Von Miller, Bradley Chubb coming off the edge, healthy.
Got Mike Purcell coming back.
Yes.
Shelby Harris, Draymond Jones pops.
Yes. Exactly. So, you know, if those things are what we hope and expect. Now, we've had, you know, like Dalton Reisner sat right here. It's like, enough talking about it. We got to go out there and do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this offensive line should be really good. But, you know, we've had high expectations and optimism surrounding this football teams in the previous years. And then we go watch football games, and it's a bad product. It just doesn't turn out like we hope or expect. Hopefully this year it does.
And also, you got to factor in, look, injuries happen, not just to the Broncos.
Yeah.
What if someone, you know, like Patrick Mahomes goes down for the Kansas City Chiefs? I mean, we see it happen every year.
He did a couple years ago, and then, you know, Matt Moore stepped in.
Yeah. Bloody Thursday.
Yeah, Matt Moore was
30-6.
Matt Moore looked better than Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we just have that effect on, you know, other players sometimes.
I think it was 10 sacks that game. I think it was 9 sacks and a blocked kick.
Not a block kick. He tried to. I think he just tried to run it, and didn't he get?
Oh, it was a fake. It was a fake.
Yeah, it was a fake.
It was a fake.
Old fake. And he just tried to run to the left, and it was like he got sacked.
Yeah.
That didn't work out very well.
It was. No.
Was that Riley Dixon?
I forget. I've been going through therapy trying to
erase
flush
that
it out
from the nightmares. Bloody Thursday?
Bloody Thursday.
Because didn't you go to that game?
I did.
And
I did.
You saved up for a month for it, huh? You're like,
I go to one
stashing
Broncos
money,
game a year.
You stashing money, and when you go, you're gonna pay, right? But
yeah.
You wanted to buy a good ticket,
ticket.
And so you're taking money out of the piggy bank there.
Yeah. I took it out of my son's college fund.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Just to finish it.
Right. And then that happened.
I mean, kidding aside, I think I paid $400 for the ticket or something like that. The game was over at halftime.
Yeah.
They were getting smashed. That was the lowest point total ever scored at a primetime game in Broncos history.
Mm.
30-6. All right.
Not ideal.
No. Chance to make the Super Bowl.
Oh, my goodness. So that was 17% to make the to win the first playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
To make the Super Bowl.
Not win it, just to play in it.
3%.
2.7.
Okay. I finally got close to one there. So 3%, 2.7. Okay.
Yep.
Right on board there. I mean, I knew that had to be super duper low.
It had to be low. I thought it'd be lower. I mean, 2 points, you're almost 3%. Okay. A chance to win the Super Bowl?
I don't know, 0.0000001. I mean, what's the lowest you can get before you say you got no chance?
1.1.
They got them at 1? They got something in front of the point?
Yep. 1% chance to win the Super Bowl.
I'm surprised it's that high.
Football Power Index.
I'm surprised it's that high. I thought it would be 0 point, you know. You agree?
I would not think there would be something to the left of the decimal, no. But they do. So
really low, regardless.
You're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance. There's always a chance. Always a chance. Not as great a chance, you know, if you had, you know, Aaron Rodgers, obviously, which we were hoping for there. We had, that draft day memory.
Mark Schlereth did tell us that a deal was as close to being done as could possibly be done. And until Aaron Rodgers comes here, we've decided to smear Marshawn. They smear Paxton on a daily basis.
We're going to smear more.
And by God, until this quarterback situation gets upgraded, we're going to have a smear campaign against Sting.
There we go.
Oh, I love it.
Day number two. Day two.
Oh, Lord. The Broncos go to Minnesota here this afternoon.
Yeah.
Joint practice starting tomorrow.
Oh, joint practices start tomorrow.
Start tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. See, my days are confused. It's mm-hmm. Wednesday, Thursday. I'm thinking today's a Monday for me.
Today's a Monday for you.
You know, it feels like yesterday was Sunday, and I'm starting my week today. Because obviously I was out of town. So today feels like a Monday. But it is Tuesday. Heading out, starting practice tomorrow. Big couple days for these quarterbacks. You know, this is what coaches want to see. All right, you know, you kind of been jabbing back and forth. No one has really separated. It's been really close. I think, you know, if Drew's going to win this job, this week's more important for Drew than for Teddy. I mean, this is the time to take the big step and have these coaches look at you and say, we can trust this guy. It's hard to do that after one practice, even if he had a good or two good practices in a row. You go out there against a different opponent, looking at different defenses, having to make adjustments on the fly, all these different things. You take care of the football and you practice really well, and then you back it up with a good performance in the game. Now you can start to change their opinion of who you are and gain their trust. So that's why I think it's more important for Drew Lock than for Teddy.
Really interesting. I like that, though.
Do you agree with that assessment?
I do. Because if Drew is going to win it, and we've talked about this, like he's got to take it. He's got to take it. I still believe with every ounce of me, if this thing's close, Teddy Bridgewater is going to start against the New York Giants. I have not wavered on that from the moment that Teddy got here for multiple reasons, but maybe chief among them is Vic needs to start 1-0. He needs to. I mean, it's to say it's of paramount importance is an understatement. I mean, it's everything. And we saw how it went down a year ago. So Drew's just going to have to take it by force. So here we go.
He's going to have to outperform Teddy here. That's what we got to remember. He's got to outperform Teddy. It can't be close. Can't be like, ooh, this thing's really close. Because if it is, they're going to go with the guy, the veteran guy.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that didn't cost them football games last year. The guy that they didn't watch throw interceptions, you know, and lead the league in interceptions. Teddy didn't play great, but they didn't have control of that.
Right.
So they're going to say, well, let's look at Teddy in our offense. You know, we'll coach him up. We'll give him easier stuff than what we did for Drew. Or, like, we'll give him easier throws than what he had in Carolina. To, you know, whatever the case. We'll have a better running game. And he'll perform better. We've seen him do it. That's why Drew has got to really outperform Teddy to win this job. And you might not think of it that way on the surface. You think the guy that was a starter the year before would be in a better situation, but not when his performances were bad.
They were. So, and then the other factor at play here is these games are going to be on television. If you take it by force in front of everyone and all of Broncos country is watching Drew Locke throw two touchdowns this weekend, it's going to be an unavoidable thing. That's not a closed practice. So that's something that the coaching staff is going to have to face.
Yes.
So, I think there's an element of that that is a factor. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. We're going to have Nate Jackson out there, boots on the ground.
Oh, awesome.
Reporting back to us.
That's going to be good.
It's going to be great. Mike
have
Kliss
somebody
is
going
to be out there as well.
Okay, we got Klissy.
And we'll check in with him on Thursday.
I love it. So, it's always good to have somebody out there. I trust Nate. I trust Mike.
I don't know if I trust Nate.
I was trying to be nice. Yeah, I was trying to be nice, Zach. I really don't trust anybody but myself, honestly. I don't like to see other opinions and how they viewed it, because I think the way that I view it, obviously, is the best.
It was just a better catch by I.
Oh, my gosh.
What was that from?
That I know exactly what that was from. That
give
was,
it to me one more time.
It was just a better catch by I.
Wow.
That was just a better catch by I. Only a wide receiver would talk
right.
Like that.
Yes. Broncos wide receiver?
Nope. Be pretty cool if he was.
DeAndre Hopkins?
Bingo.
Wow.
That was the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
With the Jordan gloves.
Right.
Who was that against? Was that against the Bills?
Buffalo.
Yeah, it was against the Bills. It's against the Bills.
But I just you know, trust my own eyes.
Yeah.
So Nate, look. Nate knows what he's looking at.
No, of course he does.
I
think Nate is just
what? Spit it out.
Don't listen to Cecil Lemmy.
He's so good at that.
Hey, no backtracking now. You've already started down this road.
I think,
there's no U-turn. Let's go.
Say it with your chest.
Keep going.
I think that Nate sometimes is still in a little bit of a player mode and is a little bit delicate on the guys.
Okay. A little easy on the guys.
Yeah.
So he needs to crank it up a little.
And he hasn't been doing this forever. He hasn't been coming in here, you know, Monday after Monday talking about a bad product. So, yeah, I look forward to catching up with Nate. I just want the real. Just give me the real.
Yeah. Yeah. Who looked good? Who looked bad? But I think this is really important for Drew. Just like the 49ers week a couple years ago was really important for Paxton. Mm. Same thing. This is where Drew's at.
I like that.
And you brought it up. For Paxton, you asked the question, I'll never forget it, does Paxton realize what's at stake that week? Like, does he realize how important that week was for him and his future and his career? And the same thing for Drew, could be said for Drew. As a player, you kind of go into player mode, and it's just like, okay, Boom. Next practice, we're going against Minnesota for a couple of days. Oh, fine. Then we're going against, then we have our first preseason game against Minnesota. But you really are just kind of in that mode. You know, every day is important for those guys. They realize that. But, when you take a step back and you look at it, that's when you realize, hey, time is ticking here on, you know, the start of the season, them making the call here. You're not going to have many more, like, really golden opportunities. Every opportunity is not the same. Not the same, Zach. These are worth more than, you know, next Tuesday, next Wednesday, next Thursday. Right. These are more valuable. So does Drew realize how important they are? What do you think?
I think he does. I think Drew is hyper aware of his standing. You know, Paxton, there was some level of disconnect there. I think Drew gets it. I really do. And it goes back to one of the reasons that you and I, through the last year and a half, there are many things we like about Drew. And the fact that he gets it is one of those, one of those reasons that we said, like, you know, he'd get done talking. We say, man, like the accountability, the responsibility, like he checks those boxes. So I do think that he gets it. And also we got to keep in mind, we're talking about the importance of this week. He's starting this week. You're going against the ones. So to your, you know, putting it on the scale and saying, hey, this is more important than some other things. Yeah, you damn right it is.
I agree. I think Drew does realize that. He's a smart guy. I think practice-wise, when you look at it, I'm assuming that both of these guys are going to get 50-50 reps again, during the practice tomorrow and Thursday, right? I don't know what the game will look like as far as reps go between the two. You know, certainly Drew's going against the ones during the game, but he's also playing with the ones.
Right.
Right? And so, you know, when you play with the backups, you're going up against backups, but you're also playing with backups. So there's some positives and some negatives on both sides of things. You just got to go out there and play well. Make the right reads. Make the right throws. Go through your progression. Don't turn the football over. But I do think Drew realizes how important this week is.
All right.
I'm a little rusty flying through that. We flow through that break?
No, it's all good. Week one of the NFL regular season is just a few weeks away, and things may have just become a bit more difficult for the Broncos right out of the gate. Take a dive into it next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.